Well, maybe we should start with a working definition of conspiracy theory.
Well, I'm going to make a distinction between conspiracy, which exists, and it happens all over the place, and local police departments are proving conspiracy cases all the time, and there's serious research into conspiracy in corporate America and among government agencies. Work of War Churchill stands out in terms of looking at conspiracies in the COINTELPRO program of the FBI. And then conspiracism, which I'm going to argue is a way of seeing the world that overvalues the role of individual actors in a way that undercuts any kind of systemic or institutional analysis. So it sees the world as governed by plots hatched by relatively small groups of people.
Well, it seems for millennia there's been an attraction and fascination with intrigue, and it's almost understandable, cabals and Machiavellian plots and shadowy figures and dark forces. What are its origins?
Well, you can argue that it's millennial. It's been going on for millennium, and in fact, in Western culture especially, the idea that there will be a millennial reign of Jesus Christ also involves prophecies from the book of Revelation about the end times, during which trusted political and religious figures form an alliance with the Antichrist on behalf of the devil. So a particular strain of Christian evangelicalism in the U.S. is rooted in this centuries-old, millennium-old idea that in the end times there'll be vast conspiracies against the average person.
Who does this appeal to? Who are the consumers of conspiracy theories, and who are the purveyors?
Well, most people today who believe in conspiracy theory as the way the world works are people who are trying to figure out something about how power is exercised. And a number of academics have written about how it's really important not to just dismiss conspiracy thinking as irrelevant, because it's actually quite relevant. And you have to say that people who believe in conspiracy theory are onto something. They're correct in analyzing that the world does not work the way that power elites say it works, so that there's a disjuncture between how power really is exercised and how we're told America works as a democracy, with everyone having a vote and everyone having a role in developing the policies for the United States. That's not how it works. So they're right in understanding that what they're being told in school and by the media about how the world works isn't true. That's true. Secondly, there are powerful elites in the world, and they often act in their own interest in a way that is against the interest of the average person. So, again, people who believe in conspiracy theory are correct in analyzing that there are powerful interests who often are acting against them. The problem is when this is all attempted to be knit together into one seamless tapestry, which goes all the way back hundreds of years and involves everybody who's in the media and in education and in politics. It's this extension into complete control over all aspects of a person's life that debunks conspiracy just on a basis of rational investigation. You simply can't have a conspiracy that goes back centuries and extends across so many different sectors of a society and not have it simply unravel as people turned against each other.
Some of the groups that keep turning up over and over again are, for example, the Trilateral Commission, the Council on Foreign Relations, the Illuminati, Bohemian Grove, the Bilderbergers, the Rockefellers, and others.
Well, in fact, some of these are institutions that have real power in the world, and we should be investigating them as power brokers. The dilemma here is the idea of assuming because a particular group has power that it has control. There are a lot of powerful groups that meet and plot strategy. And you could argue that this is done in secret. The Bilderbergers are a real banking group. The Trilateral Commission really does affect foreign policy. But if you look at the work of people like G. William Domhoff or Holly Sklar, who look at power elites, what they're trying to do is explain that these are powerful groups that attempt to control policy, but they often fail, and that there are other groups equally powerful that take different positions. And what you really have is a number of these different powerful groups trying to push the government and world governments around the world, push the society manipulate the economy in the interest of a particular ideology that they're pursuing. But there isn't one group that actually is like the puppeteer over everything. There are a number of different groups that are jockeying for power. Sometimes they work together. Sometimes they have falling outs. And that's the distinction here. An institutional analysis would look at the role of these powerful groups and say, this is where they've been successful. This is where they failed. These groups work together for a number of years. Now they don't group work together. It's this insistence of this kind of Manichaean, there are evil forces in the world and the good people have to expose them, and therefore everything will be fine once this exposure takes place. This is a magical explanation of how the world works. Power concedes nothing without a struggle, as Frederick Douglass pointed out. You cannot change the way power is exercised in the world simply by exposing a handful of people. There needs to be a constant struggle to explain how systems and institutions and structures of society affect this. And this is complicated, and it often is contradictory, and we often don't have all the evidence, and therefore it's relatively unsatisfying to have an institutional explanation because there are always loose ends. And what conspiracy theory tells us is that if you track down all the loose ends, you will have a map of how the world works. It can be exposed, and then somehow magically everything will be fine. There will be no economic class exploitation. There'll be no racism. There'll be no sexism. There'll be no heterosexism. And this is ludicrous. Even if we could expose a handful of people who were powerful, there would still be powerful forces of capitalism and class exploitation. There'd be powerful forces of white supremacy. There'd be patriarchy. There'd be heterosexism. These things are not going to go away just as we can say that George Bush, is part of a family that once, engaged in some financial skullduggery with the Nazis. It doesn't prove that George Bush is a Nazi.